Okay, next up, Cloud Ready Solutions for radio and internet streaming audio. Mike Pappas from Orban and Bill R. Renopoulos, thank you. All right, from Ross Video, right? Yes. All right, here they are.
Thanks for the introduction, Tim. Hi, I'm Bill Renopoulos with Ross Video. I'm business development for OEM and partnerships, and I'm here presenting today with Mike Pappas from Orban. Mike, why don't you introduce yourself?
So I'm Vice President of Business Development for Orban and responsible for our partnership with Ross.
All right, let's get into it. So today we're going to start off with a review of the media challenges that we're trying to address with this solution. We're going to go into a bit about Ross, Orban, and our partnership. Then we're going to talk about the SoftGear technology and platform that we have, and then go in with a bit more detail into the radio and streaming audio processor product based on SoftGear. So in terms of the challenges people are facing and broadcasters are facing these days, you have like a changing business environment, so fierce competition from streaming and on demand. You have a shorter opportunity window. It seems to be getting shorter all the time. People want everything yesterday. You have a whole bunch of different proprietary big iron boxes that, you know, they're hard to change, and it's like, oh, if you need more performance or anything, you got to get another box and all that stuff. It's slow and hard to expensive to scale as a result of that. And then, of course, everybody talks about, well, you got to be in the cloud. There's no two doubts about it. You got to be in the cloud. Well, for some people, the cloud is scary because you're talking about new tools, new skills, management. Hey, where's my box? If you're a hardware guy, it's somewhere up there. So these are some of the challenges that we're trying to address with this solution. I just wanted to take a poll. I mean, are there other challenges you guys are facing that we haven't captured on this slide? Because it's all about your requirements and understanding your requirements. Okay, quiet crowd. Okay, no problem. So in terms of the solution, what does that look like? You know, what kind of attributes is it like? If we're going to go cover all this wide space of challenges, you need something that's going to be flexible. You need something that's going to be adaptable. It has to be scalable. And it has to be ready for the future. So that's asking a lot out of a solution. We're going to keep coming back to this challenge slide as we go through this presentation and see how we take care of these. So our partnership. So why did we get together? Ross and Orban have been partners for a long time. I think it's, you know, easily
15 years.
So we've been working together on various things, but this is the first time that we've collaborated on a product that we've brought to market. And the whole goal of doing this was we wanted to help broadcasters navigate this environment that's continually changing. And we wanted to be able for broadcasters to do that easily and cost effectively by offering some unique solutions that you can't get anywhere else. And so we kind of combined, so that the elements of that is, you know, the solution has to scale effortlessly and efficiently. It has to have tremendous flexibility, you know, redundancy, fully redundant and cost effective. That's a given, backed by support from the partnership, and then combining world-class Optimode audio processing from Orban. So some of you may be wondering, what is Ross Video doing here talking about a radio product? So, you know, we do a lot more than just TV, but, you know, some of you might be wondering that. So we thought we'd do a little bit of a quick intro into Ross. So we're all about a passion for live production, and our goal is to enable our customers to develop high impact and high efficiency productions. We've been privately owned by David Ross since 1974. He owns 80% of the shares in the company. The key is, though, we're self-funded and debt-free, and being private, we're very customer-centric. And we invest for the long term. We have the luxury of being able to stick with things for a long time. On top of that, we've been able to grow revenue for 29 years in a row since 1991. We even did that last year during COVID. And part of that is the depth and breadth of our portfolio. We have a very diverse portfolio that allowed us to do that. So if you look at an overview of Ross, we have 15 global offices. We just broke through the 1,000 employee barrier this year. We have grown organically and via acquisition, having done 17 in the last 11 years. We're in 100 plus countries, covering 9 vertical markets. We're known for being innovative, for being a leader, and for being a reliable technology partner that provides value for the money and great service. We also have our own manufacturing, so we're vertically integrated, and we just broke ground on another 55,000 square feet, which will double our manufacturing capacity just last month. In terms of our customers, these are the vertical markets that we serve. You'll see in each area a lot of brand names, but we're always glad to work with all customers, whether big or small. And in terms of our breadth and depth of technology, this is just to give you some quick idea, and we're not even covering everything that we offer in terms of hardware, software, or services. We have everything from motion graphics to production switchers to robotics and virtual and augmented reality. We have a very big infrastructure solutions group that includes all our signal processing equipment, routing, connectivity, as well as that, including a big IP technology group that people don't know about. So when people talk about Ross, they talk about the specific area where they know us from, but we cover a wide range. So, you want to take it over?
Sure. Thanks, Bill. So I'm assuming that everybody knows who Orban is. And we've been at it, actually it's going on 50 years. And Bob, who is 74, comes to work 6 days a week. And usually I get my first email from Bob about 10 a.m. Pacific time, and I get my last email about 11 p.m. Pacific time, those 6 days. He's kind of like for lack of a better term, the Energizer Bunny. And he's been incredibly involved in this whole project with Ross. He thinks that the future of this business is going to be migrating out of Big Iron, and he's been one of the big cheerleaders in that effort. We have offices pretty much around the globe, and between radio and television, we have a television end that does a bunch of interesting stuff for live events. So if you guys watch any Packer games, Packers, okay, never mind, all right. The noise that comes out of your flat screen hits about 12 of our boxes between the field of play and your flat screen. So we do some very esoteric stuff that the television folks need. And as you probably all know, we do loudness and dynamic range measurement and control and all kinds of other surround and stereo stuff, and we're in broadcast and consumer and content creation. Oops. That's good. Go back. We'll just leave it there. Where are we at?
A billion years.
A billion years. No, it's ears.
Ears.
Ears. You gotta take off the mask, because okay. Nobody can hear the S's and F's.
Yeah, that's true.
So.
All right, let's go in. So now we're going to dig into the SoftGear platform, which is the basis and the technology, and to, what's this all about? Again, it's about enabling the flexibility to meet these changing needs that, broadcasters are facing these days by providing a software media processing platform built on, with IP, best of breed IP from Ross and a lot of third parties like Orban, Dolby, Nielsen that contribute to the platform. It's a scalable microservices entity. It's ideal for on-prem or cloud deployment. So before digging into it, I wanted to kind of make an analogy, because some people have a hard time trying to say what exactly is this platform. And so the next step, the evolution of media processing as we see it. And it's kind of inspired by another platform we had called OpenGear, which we developed 15 years ago and has been a resounding success and is still growing. So what happened with OpenGear is we would be going to facilities all over the place and we'd see that customers had multiple frames, multiple control systems. The frames had one or two cards in them and they had to manage this whole mess. And we say, this doesn't make any sense. So we created an open modular platform and we allowed people to OEM the frame, but we also gave them free of charge the specs to be able to design cards for it. And so now we have over 130 plus partners innovating on that frame. So I wanted to draw an analogy between OpenGear and SoftGear in terms of, well, the hardware environment went from an open but proprietary 2RU frame to a server. Why a server? Well, the server technology keeps getting better every year and keeps getting cheaper every year. So you've decoupled all your revenue generating applications from the hardware. So you can always grab the best piece of hardware that suits the application. So that's one reason. Now on the open gear, in terms of internal communication, there's a mid-plane and there's rear modules that you can connect up to communicate from one card to another card. Well, we have the same kind of concept, except it's in memory. We have media transfer buffers that can transfer information content from the various microservices, and we'll dig into what those microservices are. But essentially, if you look back at OpenGear, every partner was developing a card that did one specific function very well. Well, the equivalent in SoftGear is every partner contributes an application that fits within a microservice that we just chained together. So, and then both of these things are managed by the same dashboard interface used by 130 partners and all of Ross equipment to manage, control, and monitor the equipment. So the way I think about it, what SoftGear is, it's just a host for applications. Another analogy you can draw is like a smartphone. When you think about your smartphone, what it comes down to is just a host for your applications. Their applications may be from Apple and other third parties, but it's just running a bunch of applications. So this is a similar idea with SoftGear. One of the products we're introducing on SoftGear is the radio and streaming audio processing, which we're going to get into right now. So again, why did we partner together? Well, we were hoping that bringing SoftGear and Orban technology together would be greater than the sum of the parts individually. So, and we believe we've achieved our target. By bringing the microservices platform and containerized applications of SoftGear, along with the advanced networking and the built-in reliability, marrying that with the world-class OptiMod processing from Orban, you know, we've got a platform now that allows you to migrate easily. It supports redundancy very simply. Easy to deploy, easy to scale. It's got a path to the cloud, easy to take there. Easy to configure and manage through dashboard. And when you consider all the system costs around everything you have to do with proprietary equipment, it ends up being actually easier on your budget. So you get part of that ultimate flexibility and built-in reliability that we were talking about before. So just a quick overview on the product. It's a centralized multi-channel audio processor, scalable microservices platform, we'll get more into that. Leveraging world-class Orban OptiMode so you can create and lock in your own unique sonic brand, so you know how your radio station sounds. It'll be very consistent thanks to the Orban technology. And in addition to being easily configured and managed via dashboard, it supports AS67, it supports LiveWire, and it supports 2022-7 redundancy. So as I mentioned, we're always coming back to the challenges slide and what the attributes of the solution have to be to meet those challenges. So how does RSAP solve these challenges? Well, we mentioned the microservices architecture. This is what allows you to deploy it simply, have portable software containers, and the portable software containers allow easy scaling and migration and ultimate flexibility. Best of breed processing, Ross Orban and other third parties, so we have world-class signal processing solutions there. Ability to intuitively manage it from a centralized perspective. Rapid evolution. Because it's software, because it's decoupled from the hardware, we can develop faster, we can bring solutions to market more quickly and address new media applications. High density. Well, you know, what do people pay for? People pay for the application. So the more revenue generating program you can have in less space, the better off you are, and this is one thing that RSAP delivers. Now, it's an on-prem workflow appliance is what we call it. So it's okay if you're not ready for the cloud. You can use it as is today. But besides being easy to deploy on-prem, it's also easy to migrate to the cloud. So I want to touch a bit about containers. I know we've talked about containers a lot today already through the TELUS presentation and microservices before we get into more details about the architecture of the product. So on the left here is you have a diagram from Docker, which is a popular open source container system. And what containerizing allows you to do is it allows you to virtualize your operating system, not your hardware, but your operating system. So for example, if you're running a Linux kernel, all the apps within that container can share the Linux kernel. So why do you do that? Well, the reason you do that is because you want to isolate the software from its environment. This allows you to deploy easily. It guarantees consistency. It's lightweight. What do I mean by lightweight? Well, it doesn't take up a lot of memory or resources, unlike a virtual machine, which virtualizes the hardware. Now, you can put a container inside a virtual machine. There's nothing stopping you. But it's a lot easier to work with and lighter on your equipment to use containers. And the containers themselves, they bundle the app and everything that it depends on inside the container. So it's self-contained. So how do you think about this? Well, the analogy to use is actually a shipping container. And Docker even uses it in their logo, right? When we developed shipping containers, it made it a lot easier to move things, to ship things all around the world. Of course, one big drawback with the analogy is you can't actually necessarily run your application within a shipping container. You can't drive your car inside a shipping container. So it's not exactly the same thing. But in software, you can run the application inside the container. So microservices, what's that? Well, microservices is just a better way to build software. So I grabbed this example from IBM. So it shows a simple application. So on the left, you have a standalone application. And as the name implies, you break that into a whole bunch of smaller microservices on the right. And so again, why do you do that? Well, multiple reasons. It really speeds up development because each team can just work on their part of the application, not the entire thing. But from a customer perspective, it allows the solution to be flexible and efficient. It allows it to be the individual service to be independently deployable and independently scalable, which is important. So for example, if you need more accounting services in the example, you can just make that unit twice or three times bigger and not affect anything else in that application if it's required for your solution. And greater resilience. Why do you have greater resilience? Well, if you have a bug, and nobody has bugs, but if you have a bug.
Hey, listen, I'm going to back up so when you get hit by lightning.
Yeah. Nobody, we never have bugs. But anyways, in monolithic.
They're undocumented features.
Undocumented features. When you have the monolithic application, you're like, okay, you have to sort through it. Where's the bug? What does it depend on? What other piece of code is talking to that piece of code? And it's really messy. Whereas when you have a microservice, the bug will be limited within the microservice itself, so it's a smaller chunk to deal with. Now, I have a picture of milk and cookies here, and it's not because I'm hungry. I am hungry, but that's not the reason why I put the milk and cookies there. The reason I put the milk and cookies there is because a lot of people refer to containers and microservices as the dynamic duo, as the milk and cookies of IT. So, because they really go together hand in hand, and it also is important how you use these things, right? So you can have multiple microservices within a container. But if you actually put only one microservice in one container, you not only get greater resiliency, because now your bug is not only limited to your microservice, but your container, and it makes it easier to debug your entire system. So all this to get to this slide, which is about what, when you combine containers and microservice together, what you get is, in effect, the ultimate workflow flexibility. Because you can chain these things together in any way and in any order. So at the top, let's say, for example, we want to take Orban's technology and we want to add watermark encoding in the platform. So, you know, your standard way in a box, or even here, you could just get the input, your PCM audio in, run your OptimOut processing on the stream, watermark it, and bitstream out. That's standard, sequential. But the bottom example is an idea of what you can do now with SoftGear and this architecture. So you can have multiple output streams. So in this case, you have an input PCM stream, you process the audio, and now on the same you're watermarking the same content, but it could have a different Nielsen watermark ID, SID we call them, or station ID. So you can take the same content, watermark it twice in two different ways, and send it out two different outputs to two different streams. And you can chain, you can have as many of these parallel chains as you know, your system can handle in terms of utilization and execution. But you can parallel and you can put them in any way that makes sense to adjust to your unique workflow. So as an example here in RSAP, what we're doing is we're taking the audio in via AS67 or LiveWire Plus, and then we have a channel mapper, which means we can take any one of the channels and put anywhere, process any channel in that map with OptiMode, wherever we want to do, pass it straight through or change the order. And then we have 8 signal paths, so 8 parallel Orban OptiMode radio processors in there. Take the output of that, channel map those, and then send them out via AS67 and LiveWire Plus streams. So now I'm going to turn it over to Mike to talk a bit about the applications you can do with this thing. If you want to clicker.
Perfect. Thanks, Bill. So our did we mention we had a launch customer?
Yeah, it's coming up.
Okay. So our launch customer had a requirement where they needed hundreds of processing channels. And they were feeding a whole series of very distant transmission paths and doing everything from satellite to DAB to conventional terrestrial analog FM. And all of that was being shipped over various and assorted links, including low bit rate satellite encoders and muxes and all kinds of things. And in this particular example, they're feeding 8 studios into 8 channels worth of OptiMod processing. And that processing is functionally equivalent to an OptiMod 8700i. So it's everything that you guys get in a standard FM processor, including MX limiting, multiband, the most advanced AGC, smart AGC in the planet, all running virtually in a 1RU package, and then being sent off. And one of the interesting things here is the customer had a fleet of Orban processors located at several hundred FM sites. And because the STL link out to those locations was lossy compressed, we did the final peak limiting and pre-emphasis locally. Now, the reason we did that was because lossy compressed codecs typically don't enjoy pre-emphasized audio at all. So we were able to recycle their existing Orban processing to handle the peak limit control and do the pre-emphasis. And then they also did streaming encoding. So it was a pretty good sized project there, and literally hundreds of channels of it. And a simplified Bach diagram for all of you folks who've worked with Orban processors kind of know that this is exactly how those things are set up. There's high pass and low pass filters, stereo synth, mono bass, phase correlator, stereo enhancer, subharmonic synthesizer, two band AGC EQ, HF enhancer, five band compressor limiter, CBS loudness controller, bass limiter, HF limiter, and MX limiter. How about that in 30 seconds or less? So you guys know what all this looks like, and that's exactly what's running on those systems.
And that's why you get the terrific sound?
Yes. Well, and the other thing is, don't tell anybody, but we can take your presets that you're currently running and put them in this. Which was the other thing that the customer, the launch customer, came to us and said, we have all these great presets. Can you migrate them into this? And we said, of course. And we did it. And Bob was part of that too, because he wanted to check every one of them to make sure it was perfect. And you got to like it when Bob's paying that level of attention. I'll push the button. There we go.
Okay.
I'm giving it back to Bill here.
Give it back, yeah. So again, we're back to this slide again, the challenge you're facing, the solution. So I think Mike stole a bit of the thunder, but we have a real life example of you know how those things are solved. So as Mike mentioned, the launch customer had hundreds of processors with an Orban infrastructure already in place, and you know they found it difficult to access, manage, and change all those processors at those transmitters, and you know frankly needed to dispatch a technician to the relevant transmitter site. Now, this is not one of the customer's site, but I put the picture up there as to say, when I look at this picture, I'm like, man, it's not going to be easy to get there. It's going to be very expensive. And then I'm going to have to do favors to the technician that's willing to go up there and change that box. So that's what that reminds me of. And I think it's important to understand that in some of the real world issues you're facing, right? It's never a good thing if you have to dispatch somebody to a remote location to fix something. The other requirements that the customer had was they needed to have hot standby and fault-tolerant redundancy. And their IT department said you can't have a Windows solution. I don't know why, but they just said Windows is out. So the solution was to use RSAP to centralize all the audio processing. You could keep the Orban equipment, and like Mike was talking about, you could put them in bypass mode and fix the pre-emphasis and anything else you need to do at the transmitter end. RSAP gave you cost-effective redundancy built in via 2022-7. And the bonus was everything we have in that server directly maps into AWS because it's containerized, because it's a microservices architecture. You can just run it in a cloud instance. So, and in fact, we're doing that right now. So that was this is how RSAP solved the customer's problem. And I'm going to toss it back to Mike, who's going to go into a bit about the customer solution.
Oh, thanks, Bill.
Which I think you already did.
I pretty much covered it. But again, Plant Audio was shipped by AES67. We processed it, lossy SDLs. Final peak limit and pre-emphasis was done at the sites, again, because lossy codecs do not enjoy pre-emphasized audio at all, and that's according to Bob. And away we went. They were also driving streaming, DAB, and satellite service, and it all worked.
You got the next one, too.
Oh, do I really? Wow.
And
it looks just like the interface that we've used since the 8400, which I believe is going on 30 years. So it's very familiar. It has a less more control, lots of presets. LiveWire can trip that stuff. It's pretty much what you folks have been using for a very long period of time. We thought it was important that the UI look familiar and behave the way that you're expecting it to. The last thing we want to do is like rearrange your world and thinking. I don't know about you guys, but my world needs to be very well organized and my thinking very constrained for that stuff. So
we thank you for listening, and so now it's time for Q&A.
So
any questions?
Questions? Oh, Why don't we do a good job or put everybody to sleep?
Well, I just want to say it's good to meet you guys, right? We haven't done this live for a year and a half now, so it's good to see everybody face-to-face and mask-to-mask, so hopefully we can have more of these events going forward. Oh, we have a question. Okay, good.
So how many streams can you get in one RU then?
Currently eight. And that's with full MX limiting, which takes more horsepower than not running MX limiting. So that's a worst case scenario.
But, you know, I mean, if you want to do more than that, you just upgrade to a bigger server, right?
Well,
so
yeah,
it's very quick to do. It's not isolated to the server at all.
Well, again, as Bill said, it's nice to be in front of people. And, you know, last night I was having dinner with Bill, and I pulled out my wallet to pay the bill, and moths flew out of it. It's been so long since we've done any of this. Another question.
Okay, this containerized stuff, it's the way it sounds to me, it's like, well, I thought of video editing where you have your program and it's going out to get to all this DirectX, Microsoft DirectX stuff. So a container is kind of self-contained. So instead of going back in and get other drivers or other software, it's all packaged in one. And then
exactly, yeah. That's the advantage of containers, that everything you need for the application to run is in there. So in theory, you should be able to move it to any operating system, but like say you were using Linux, if you move it to another platform that has Linux, it'll just run. Well, and you don't need anything else. It doesn't depend on getting in, you know, you might get inputs and data or something from another application, but it itself doesn't need anything else to run.
Well, and the other part of that is that you can link those internally without requiring drivers.
Yeah.
So you can stack a Nielsen watermark up at the output of an Orban processor, and it's not going through a device driver.
You know, and probably I shouldn't be saying this out loud, but if at your company you had some specific piece of software that you absolutely needed to run, and you had an SDK for it, software development kit, it's very quick to put it into a microservice in a container into this architecture and run it for you. So, and that's how we're able to consume, I mean, like how quickly did we get the Orban stuff into the platform from start to finish?
From the time that we agreed that we were going to do the project till we had operating product was 9 months, which is really fast. And a launch customer that we shipped to.
Yeah, and a launch customer we shipped to on that, so there was a reason to do it. But I mean, 9 months, I don't know about you guys, but if we touch hardware, that's 9 months automatically, if we have to touch hardware.
Yeah,
so
usually
that's
longer.
You know, sometimes longer. So that's the advantage of the speed that you get with this platform. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.